Podcast, episode 102.
I think so. What I think it happened was we recorded a 101.
Yes.
That didn't get published.
Oh,
and
we,
then the last episode was 101, even.
I see.
So I think you know, I ruined a thing.
So what was this 101?
We're going to call this, this is 102, but it should be 103.
All right. Welcome to 102-ish.
102 and a half.
Two. It's whatever we got. It's 102. It's what we got. We can do whatever we want. It's ours. You know what? This is 102. Fuck you.
I co-sign that.
Yeah. Yeah. 102. Welcome to 102. I'm Brandon. That's John. Shit. Do we just go right into Ghostbusters? What do we start with?
Mm-mm.
Do we even preference anything else?
Mm-mm.
I was ready for a fun time, which I had. I wasn't ready for all the cries, the feels.
Like, I had a feeling that
they're gonna reference
that maybe I was gonna get a little misty. And I mean, so again,
spoilers for Ghostbusters,
right?
Afterlife, by the way. Please, we're gonna talk the shit out of this, and you're gonna, if you haven't seen it, you're gonna be pissed.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, wait another minute and a half.
Right, then hit pause.
And then hit pause.
Yeah. Or just hit, you know what, hit mute right now. And just keep listening.
Yeah, like,
take the time and, you know, for yourself. The next minute and a half, cool, quiet time for you. And then we'll come back and talk and whenever you get to it.
Practice some mindfulness.
Because you can come back to this anytime you want. This is a podcast. If you don't see it for a year, you can still come back to episode 102-ish.
102-ish.
Yeah. And hear about Ghostbusters. But,
so... Obviously, I've made no bones about the fact, like, this is the most excited I have been for a movie since Force Awakens, probably.
Sure.
Just like in every sense of the word, I've been waiting, anticipating, freaking the fuck out. Like, can this movie deliver? And it did.
It most definitely did.
Like, I think...
Don't get me wrong. Here, look. I'm going to say I love this movie. Having said that, are there parts that were like...
Yeah, it's not perfect.
No, it's not. But great movies aren't.
So, the original Ghostbusters is a perfect film.
I can check that box.
It is. It does exactly what it needs to do, exactly when it needs to do it.
Sure.
This movie is not perfect, but it is a solid A-.
Sure.
To me.
I'm in.
If I were to have any critiques, it's a touch too long.
I can see that, sure.
It's weird to me to, like, be living in this time where every movie, for whatever reason, needs to be over 2 hours long.
Yeah.
That's weird. Like, I feel like it could have been tightened up a touch.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could have been closer to a perfect movie if it was like 145 instead of 205.
Yeah.
I think there was some chuffa
yeah.
that could have gone. But that wasn't problematic for me.
Right. I agree.
Like, it was just, it delivered in a way that I was afraid it wouldn't, quite honestly.
Yep.
Like, I was super excited about that movie. Truly, like, it definitely played on the nostalgia cards.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole fucking score was the same score.
It was great.
It was all the same drops.
Within the first 30 seconds, this movie was better than I thought it was going to be, just based on the movie, the music coming in.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It just felt good.
What's killer about it, though, is that it definitely, like, played on the nostalgia, but it didn't rely on it.
Not at all.
Like, it was an entirely new story.
Right. Right.
You only got the original Ghostbusters for one scene at the tail end.
Right, right.
Like, it didn't rely on those legacy characters or that legacy story.
I was going to say, you don't even get Dan Aykroyd till like, probably 145.
Yeah.
You don't, when she makes the phone call.
Yeah.
That's really the first time. I mean, you hear references of all of it, obviously, but you don't see him on screen until then.
What's the craziest thing to me that just had me grinning ear to ear from the get-go?
Is how much Rick Moranis was in it?
you didn't riot.
I couldn't. You wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
It was a late night show.
But I was completely dumbfounded and overjoyed by the fact that this movie fucking opens on Harold Ramis.
Sure.
You don't get the other Ghostbusters, but you get the dead one to open the fucking movie.
True.
Like, that is balls, man.
It is. It is. And it was very good. I told you before, I teared up a little bit at the end there.
Oh, totally.
You know, I won't totally give away what it was, but obviously, you know, he comes into play there. And
I feel like this movie, what I loved most about it was, sure, it's a Ghostbusters sequel. So it has to be Ghostbusters-y, but I felt like it was a movie, more than anything, was a love letter to friendship.
Yeah.
It was a movie about friendship, whether it is the older guys who drifted apart, whether it was McKenna Grace's character who didn't have friends and was learning how to make friends, the podcast kid, Finn Wolfhard trying to fit. Like, it was a movie about friendship.
Right.
And that's when a movie is always strongest to me, is when it's about something and then it tells you a different story along the way.
Yeah.
Like, at its core, it is not about killing ghosts. It's not about defeating Gozer.
Right.
Defeating Gozer is the widget that allows you to tell the other story that is just about love and loss.
Sure. I can get that.
And that matters to me. You know, it's kind of like how the first Ghostbusters movie, again, it's not about defeating ghosts. It's about taking risks. It's about chasing something bigger than you.
Sure.
But defeating ghosts is the widget. You know, it's about chasing down something new. Whereas this one is solely about relationships.
Other than, of course, we have, you know, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Mini Marshmallow Man. You never have a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, and that like skeleton zombie looking cab driver.
Yeah, the taxi ghost.
Did we have any callback ghosts?
How did we not have Slimer?
I thought it'd at least pop up somewhere.
That one really shocked me that we didn't get a Slimer.
I mean, if you're doing Ghostbusters, you own the rights to Slimer, right? Someone else can't own the rights to Slimer.
Totally.
Okay.
Well, and it's like they did the Muncher.
Right.
As their new Slimer.
Right.
Which makes sense to have a new character.
Totally.
And his what he does played into the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed crazy to me in that moment, like when we got the cab ghost again.
Right.
When all the ghosts are let loose, how do we not see Slimer in the town?
Right. Right.
That seemed just
so
like
does that mean Slimer's a strictly weird New York ghost, like the Titanic showing up type thing? Like, this is not going to happen in Oklahoma?
What it tells me is that they are already planning a sequel.
Sure.
And they didn't want to bust their whole nut here.
Maybe. So you bring back Slimer for the second one?
Yes.
Or the fourth one?
Because I think you're going to get... I don't imagine you get Bill Murray for the next one.
Sure.
He clearly didn't seem very interested in doing this one.
He really didn't.
Based on his bit.
Yeah.
He was not...
All there.
He was my biggest disappointment of this movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's not to say that he broke my heart. He didn't ruin the movie or sink anything.
Right.
But he was not very good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think you're going to get Bill Murray again. I think you might be able to get Dan Aykroyd again.
I think you definitely can.
But you're 100% getting Ernie Hudson.
Yep.
You're 100% getting Annie Potts. And the next movie is when you can bring in a Rick Moranis and a Slimer.
Sure.
So if you like, you can keep the legacy part of it alive with those guys, and you haven't wasted them in this movie. That's the only explanation I can think of as to why you don't have Slimer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I was upset there was no Moranis. I really thought we'd see even a reference to him. I would have been super happy with. That would have been great if, you know, Annie Potts would have referenced him at some point. I don't know, something.
Especially because we had Vince Clortho.
Totally. Right. At least she didn't reference him as, like, dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they write him out. You know what I mean? Like, okay, there's still a shot. They might want to bring him in, which obviously you'd want to bring Rick Moranis into anything you did.
Sure.
But that was my only letdown. Bill Murray wasn't great.
Right. Even Sigourney Weaver, you only got in a post-credit scene.
Yeah, which is odd. Why you save her for that?
Right.
But you know,
here what I think it was is, again, this is I'm making some assumptions here. I have to assume Jason Reitman wrote this story.
And Bill Murray was better in that than he was.
Totally.
I mean, it was much better. Anyways.
I have to think that Jason Reitman wrote this story needing it to be a movie that could exist without the original Ghostbusters. Because I think he was dead set on making this movie one way or the other. And he knew it's probably a long shot to get the original Ghostbusters.
You think? I think once he signs on, he has to know there's a better shot.
I think he has to know there's a better shot, but I also think he has to be making a movie knowing that it can work without them.
Sure, yeah.
He didn't want to go the Star Wars route, where it's like, we need these legacy characters or everything falls apart.
Yeah.
In this case, you could have done this entire movie without those three actors, and it still works 100%. So I think he wrote it with the intention of not needing them. Then once they signed on, it felt like, all right, how do we shoehorn these guys in now?
Sure, sure.
Because it felt a little forced.
Yeah, fair enough. And I don't want to take anything away from the movie. Once again, I loved it. And this is just a dude talking. When the three of them showed up there towards the end, was that all on a soundstage?
Absolutely. It had to be.
That's why it didn't feel good. It didn't look like they were still in the same place where they were filming the rest of the movie. It took me out of it. It looked very forced.
It looked shoehorned in.
Obviously, that's why they had the smoke come in and blah, 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 so they could make it look... Anyways, but you're right. That's where it kind of took me out of it. I had a super big smile on my face because here are the fucking original Ghostbusters. I mean, the only other thing like that, if three guys come out of the smoke from my childhood and it's not the Ghostbusters or the Three Amigos, I don't know what would be. That's like, it's coming. This is the same reason.
Like after she's on the phone with Dan Aykroyd,
of course.
Not only do you know they're coming, but you know that's the moment they're coming.
Absolutely.
Like, it was immediately in my head, was like, oh, they are going to come and be the backup in the perilous
moment. When Gozer pops
up. Like, you knew that was... Right. Not only did you know they were coming, you knew that was how they were, and it was still really fucking delightful. Right.
And that's why I still thought you could roll in Rick Moranis at the end. Like, he just shows up like you always, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm here, guys. You know, that kind of move, but, you know.
I think you're right. I think you could have.
Look, I'm talking about nothing, because it's,
But I
wanted
to
meet some Moranis.
I do think that could be a logical place for the sequel here. Because also, clearly, the sequel will take place in New York. At the fire, like after that post credit scene, seeing Ernie Hudson, going back to New York.
I also assumed that's who Ernie Hudson was referencing when he said, "I started this business with one partner."
Yeah.
Why do you say that and not say who the one partner is?
Yeah.
Come on, that's
your
partner.
CPA.
Totally.
And he's 100% part of that next.
I hope so.
The next.
I sure hope so.
But like it just I cried.
I teared up big time, yeah.
It
was emotional. They did it very nicely.
They just did it right. Yeah. Like, it's not as funny as the first Ghostbusters.
Nope.
But it has some cute jokes that definitely did give me some chuckles.
Sexiest Man Alive, Paul Rudd, is fantastic.
Yeah.
He's in it less than you might think, but he's fantastic when he's in it. He's very charming.
I was a little disappointed that when he became the gatekeeper, they never called him Vince Clortho.
Yeah.
They never dropped that name.
Yeah.
Kerry Coons gave us Zool. So we had Zool.
Yes, that's right. You're right.
But we didn't have it like...
You're right.
That would have been a fun little needle drop for me.
I agree. But, you know.
But I think through and through, it was just... It was pitch perfect.
I mean...
what it needed to be.
And you know what it was... Not the best part, but made me super excited was, like you said, those ending credits, you know, when it shows New York and it shows the old building and, what, you know, Winston's Edmore is moving in there and, they pan down to the basement and that light's flickering and
yes,
maybe that's where Slimer is.
That's where Slimer is.
So, fantastic. I'm more excited. Well, not more excited. I'm just as excited for what's to come as I was for this movie coming out.
Totally. Like, I went to this movie looking forward to getting just a fun Ghostbusters movie. I left this movie excited about a Ghostbusters franchise.
Sure. I was going to say, in a world of building universes, this is one that I could so get behind and you can do fun stuff with.
And I said this to you when we left. Watching that movie felt very much like watching the first season of Stranger Things, in that when we finished the first season of Stranger Things, I looked over at Libby and I was like, that kid that's playing 11, Millie Bobby Brown, I was like, that's a really fucking good actor. Like, we've all seen kids in stuff, and, you know, a good child actor is still just a child actor, probably. Like, they're probably just cute or just fit the part.
Right.
Whereas, like, Millie Bobby Brown in Stranger Things was like, oh, no, you're a fucking powerhouse. Right. Like, you can carry this.
Right.
I felt the exact same way with McKenna Grace.
She's awesome.
In this movie. Yeah. Like, the entire movie rests on her shoulders.
She
fucking carries it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She does the job.
Casting in general is fantastic. I mean, yeah. Everybody, you know, Finn Wolfhard does look a little older than he should, but they look like they could be siblings 100%. They look very related. I would like to know who their father is.
Yeah.
Odd they didn't bring that up.
It's Rick Moranis.
Wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me. You know, he's swinging that big the Canadian dong down there.
Yep.
You know, so. Casting was great. I thought Paul Rudd played basically a modern day
Rick Moranis.
You know,
yeah. He took that character.
A little more intelligent. They didn't make him as goofy, I guess.
I would say he was the perfect blend of Egon and Rick Moranis. I
agree 100%. Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
That character had to serve both of those roles.
Right.
And he did wonderfully.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Another little small critique. And I know they did this probably more for merch than anything else. You didn't need that many marshmallow men going around.
Right.
It was cute at the end when the kids covered in marshmallows. Great callback.
Right.
But the Walmart scene, didn't need it.
Entirely unnecessary.
Didn't need it. It's extra CGI you could have given to the cameraman or something.
And it was way longer than it needed to be.
Totally.
Again, that's where I'm getting. Like, right. That movie didn't need to be 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Right.
You could, that Walmart scene is probably fucking 6 minutes.
Right.
It should have been 30 seconds.
Right. Paul Rudd bending over to look at something and then a dog coming through is all you need. And then chasing him down. Great. I get it. Same thing that happened with, you know, in the first one. He chased him through a park, up against the wall, done.
Yeah. It could have used a little tightening there.
Yep. I agree. And that was my only, like I said, it was cute. I think it's to move merch. It's to have Funko Pops. It's to have shit like that. I get it. It's what we are. It's what this is.
And I also think the thing is, like, it's important to keep in mind, while certainly those are critiques, they are not problems.
Oh, 100%.
You know, these are, if I were picking nits,
right, for every
this
little,
is what I would do.
Right,
but I think it was pitch perfect.
For every little critique I have of that, I have 5 examples that I could tell you how much I loved it.
Right, so, just ear-to-ear grins.
Right, right. What else did I want to talk about Ghostbusters? Did I have anything else I want to talk about Ghostbusters?
A thing that, when I think of the original Ghostbusters, I think of just certain lines and certain moments that hold up. And out of this one, one that still just sits perfectly, that I did not see coming, was when she makes the call to Ray, and I'm calling about Egon Spengler. You just hear him go, Egon Spengler can rot in hell.
Yeah.
Like that delivery of that line, that was classic Aykroyd.
It was.
And
Aykroyd's very good.
That was fun.
Yep. I think Aykroyd was good in this. Ernie Hudson's adorable as always in this.
Yeah.
Adorable. That's a terrible word used for a grown man.
But Ernie Hudson is definitely the MVP of those.
He's kind of the glue. Like, yeah.
Like, it's like, not only are they clearly building the future around him, but it's also like, oh, he deserves that because he's better than Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, which I cannot believe came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The fact that if I'm looking at the legacy Ghostbusters, the best one is Ernie Hudson? Winston Zeddemore?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. This movie could have used, in my opinion, which I know you can't do today, more cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they should have showed up at the end. And
Ray had to have a dart hanging out of his mouth.
At least Dan Aykroyd. Like, at least Ray.
Goggles up, dart at the mouth.
Just hanging.
Right? Yes. Like it is in the hotel.
Like I feel like that would have been a big deal of him just...
When he's walking up to give that big speech, you know, goes Aryan. Good evening. Like the dart falls out as he's. It'd be great. It'd be great. But I know you can't do it now. You can show it not lit, right? I think you can't smoke.
What? So there is a whole. It
automatically becomes PG-13 or R when you're smoking and stuff.
No, but even then, it's a.
You got to pay?
Yeah. Like there's a. Big thing about it. I was recently listening to...
Even if it's a period piece, like, oh, God, it's fucked up.
I was listening to the OC Companion podcast.
Sure you were.
Because I am me.
Yeah.
And in the pilot episode, so mind you, this is 2004, probably? Maybe 2003? Ryan Atwood, one of the main characters, is smoking a cigarette at the end of the driveway. And that's like a really crucial part of who that character is. And when they filmed it, they had to edit out the cigarette for the commercial. And then the only reason they were allowed to get away with it is like as he's smoking the cigarette, Peter Gabriel's character like comes to the end of the driveway and makes a scene. Like he puts the cigarette out for him and makes a scene how you will not smoke in my house and smoking is bad and you're a piece of shit, and that's the last cigarette we see in the entire series.
This may ruin our friendship. Peter Gabriel is in the OC? The singer Peter Gabriel? Sledgehammer?
Peter Gallagher.
Okay, I'm just making... Okay, you said Peter Gabriel, correct?
I did.
Okay.
I said that wrong. Gallagher.
Honestly, I thought I was missing something. Like, wait. Didn't realize. No. Okay, you're good. You're good.
Gallagher.
You're good. Big eyebrows guy.
Yes.
Awesome. Back on board. I'm sorry.
I'm quite a bit embarrassed right now.
If he would have been in it, would that have ruined our friendship if I wouldn't have known Peter Gabriel was an essential part of the OC?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. Because I knew Peter Gallagher. I knew that one.
That would have been an issue.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I'm just really hurting with myself right now.
We're okay, guys. We're saved.
Breathe in.
That's right.
Breathe out.
I was gonna make a sledgehammer reference or something, but I had nothing there. We were on Ghostbusters. You're talking about your OC companion. Were you done?
I apologize.
Okay.
And how we could, and how you're right, we could have used a cigarette or two in this movie.
Yep. I mean, there was the Twinkie reference, which is great, and things like that.
I loved the very subtle callbacks.
Yes.
I feel like the score. Was the only heavy callback. Like it was every soundbite in the entire movie was from the original.
Yep.
Other than that, all of the other references were really subtle and sweet. Like you said, like the scene, like the kid being covered in marshmallows.
Right. I would have loved to see, like, as they were looking at YouTube stuff, like, what's the redheaded dude's name who pulled the lever, who has no dick?
Walter Peck.
Yeah. Like show him
the EPA.
Show him covered in the marshmallow or something at the end. Just that'd be a great little reference. But you know, you probably gotta get his permission after all these years to put him back on film, right? Not if you own that movie. Fuck him. You got that movie. You already paid him.
Pay him again.
Do you have to pay
him
again?
I want Walter Peck.
Is he still around?
He's gotta be.
Did he have any weird things that happened? He seems like a guy who may have had a little legal issues at some point.
I don't know.
Like the
let's look this guy up.
The principal from Ferris Bueller.
He has issues?
Yeah, they found some questionable child pornography in his house once.
No way.
Yeah. Which is odd since he played a high school teacher, principal. I can forget his name, but he was in tons of 80s stuff. That guy was in lots of stuff, that principal.
All right, played by William Atherton.
I loved him in Weird Science. Did you see Weird Science, the Val Kilmer movie?
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. Loved it.
So he is known for his roles in The Hindenburg, Die Hard 1 and 2, The Pelican Brief, and Biodome.
That's right, he's in Biodome. He's in Die Hard 1 and 2?
According to Wikipedia, he is.
Wait. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, he's the journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he punches. And his wife punches. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. And then he's on the plane with her in the second one.
Okay, William Atherton. Yeah, he's 74 years old. Still working.
Okay, good. Okay. He's been in something recently?
Wow, deep filmography. Nothing since 2017.
That's concerning. It's about time you get Me Too'd.
Yeah. The last big thing he was in, if you want to call it big, was The Girl Next Door in 2007.
With,
not the Emile Hirsch one.
Okay. Timmy Theolophant?
Yeah. I mean, the last big thing, he was in Into the Sun with Steven Seagal in 2005.
Okay. Still not big.
The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
Okay.
In 2003.
Okay.
Was his last, blockbuster movie.
Yep. He's only in that briefly, too, but still, yeah. It's a big movie. Okay, well, then why the fuck wasn't he in this?
For the same reason that Rick Moranis wasn't, because you got to save him for the sequel.
Maybe.
It's all about...
He's more someone you bring back for the Netflix, movie series.
No, he's coming back when the next...
Because the next one looks like it might take place in New York.
The next one will be in New York.
Yeah.
You're going to get Walter Peck.
He's the one that shut it down. Why didn't he get... Anyway, we'll talk about that in the next episode. I would have loved to see a... You got references, obviously, to, Raise a Cult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bookstore, Moors and Spolds and Spungus, that he collects and things like that. I would have
Revelations.
Loved, yes. The one reference I kind of wanted to see was... what was Venkman's TV show's name?
Oh!
I can't think of the name of the TV show.
Yeah. From Ghostbusters 2.
Damn it. Anyways, I wanted to see some random reference to that or something. You know what I mean? Like someone at the Paul Rudd pops out of the thing going, oh, I know you. And then he says the name of the fucking TV show as opposed to whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would have been fun.
What the hell is that called? That's sad.
I can't remember.
Because all I can think of is the security guard who's like, that's one of my two favorite shows. Oh, what was the other one? Bassmasters. You know Bassmasters? Yeah, I know Bassmasters. It's a fishing show. Yeah, I know Bassmasters. Something of the weird, wasn't it? Something of the weird.
Probably.
Something of the unknown. Oh,
I've got nothing on it.
I know. I'm telling you. I apologize. No one's listening. Anyways, okay. Anything else for Ghostbusters?
No, go see it.
Go see Ghostbusters.
Go to the movie theater.
Yes.
Get you a large Wild Cherry Pepsi.
Nope.
And enjoy that film.
Not from Des Perez.
Twice they have got me.
Yeah.
How are you going to be a movie theater and not have Wild Cherry Pepsi? Or at least not refill the syrup?
Times are tough.
Fucking savage.
Maybe that cherry syrup's hard to come by.
Right. I felt like I was a fucking kid.
Nope.
It was terrible.
I can't make excuses for him. It's inexcusable.
Don't try.
No, you can't bring out the Ghostbusters car and not have Wild Cherry Coke.
Right.
Pepsi. Either. You don't have anything. Yeah, I'm good on Ghostbusters. What else you got, man?
A sneeze.
Jeez. How unprofessional.
Yeah, and how rude that you didn't say God bless you.
I just straight up asked him a question as he's sneezing.
Fucking savage.
Gazoon tight.
Yep. Yeah. Cowboy Bebop.
I haven't seen. Heard it's fantastic.
Haven't seen it?
No. Heard it's great.
Watched the first episode. Loved it. Well, I'll wait till next week for that.
Okay.
Because you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
That's a fun go-to. But man, this fucking week, Brandon, Cowboy Bebop has already happened. We've got Hawkeye starting.
Yes.
On Wednesday.
Yes.
And we've got the back half of Masters of the Universe.
That's right.
Dropping on Wednesday.
That's right. It's a good week.
I'm super stoked for that Masters of the Universe.
It is a great time to own a comic book shop like the one at 671
Big
Ben.
Manchester, Missouri.
That's right. No, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for a little wrestling tonight, a little Survivor Series. You know what?
What's the big match tonight?
That's a lie. I'm not excited for it.
Oh, enlighten me.
This hurts for me to say.
Ooh.
WWE, I'm only putting it on them. It's not fun anymore.
Hold on.
Yep.
Brandon, a bedmark of our friendship is you convincing me that wrestling is fun.
Oh, no. WWE itself. AEW is tits. It's the balls. It's fantastic. It's all the dirty words. It's great. WWE,
So hit me with
storylines.
Like your top three reasons why it's fucked right now.
There's no... They have rooms full of writers. You know what I'm saying? They actually have writers for this shit. And there is no, like, follow through on storyline. The company as a whole is firing lots of their talent. They're, like I've said before, I think they're probably going to sell the company. You're getting rid of a little bit of overhead, things like that. Which, if they are, that's what happens. But it's just not... It's getting kind of back to the... towards the late 80s where it was very cartoonish. You know what I mean? It's just over the top stuff now. It's not, there's nothing going on. There's nothing to look forward to. I'll record it. I will fast forward through the majority of it, watch what I want to watch, move along, and go watch AEW. Now, tonight, it's a pay-per-view, little Survivor Series. I'm going to watch it, but I'm not super excited for it anymore. I wish I was. I'm upset that comes out of my mouth. I still love wrestling. That product has just gone downhill.
Well, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, I hate to say it. But I got to speak the truth.
That's what we come here for.
That's true.
For the hard truth.
That's right. The hard truth. Yeah, the truth about wrestling is Vince McMahon doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He's lost the...
He lost
touch.
The fire.
He's lost the touch. I just think he's just created his own world for so long and too many men. And
the thing is, I don't think you lose touch. I think when you're a guy like a Vince McMahon,
but it's different.
Who's made a large sum of money,
right?
Whatever he's doing right now is for a reason. Now, that reason may not be in the best interest of WWE. But I don't think it's that he's just like lost his touch. I think it's that he's making a choice.
He is a phenomenal businessman. I'm not saying he's not. The choices he's making is probably what is best for the company to make money.
But in the long run.
Sure. Because he's probably going to sell a company and make another billion or whatever. Or this is what his advertisers want. So they're going to pay him to do, you know, whatever. The company itself is going to be fine. The people watching it, you're not going to keep them entertained and long-term like you used to doing what you're doing.
Uh-huh. Man.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So, I'm going to watch it. Not super excited. That's it.
So, what, Survivor Series is tonight?
It's the Survivor Series, yeah.
What's the marquee match tonight?
I think it's the two champ. So, you have your champion on SmackDown, Roman Reigns, and the champion on Raw, Big E. Going against each other. So you have champion versus champion, which means no one will win. Because they have to have a title on both.
That'll be a weird DQ.
Right, or something, or whatever. Some bullshit run-in, or whatever. Because you have to have a title on both shows. You can't have a show with no title.
When did they start doing that?
Once they separated the... Because they're separate shows. So the people don't wrestle each other usually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so like the big, you know how Survivor Series is like the teams, you get a team of this, team of that to wrestle each other. This is now, you get a team of five people from SmackDown, a team of five people from Raw, and that's the Survivor Series match. But there's other matches, obviously, but that's...
I didn't realize that they were basically two separate promotions under one promotion.
It is and it's not. People float back and forth, don't get me wrong, and every now and then they have a draft. And people go switch shows and stuff like that. But yeah, it's basically for advertising purposes. See who sells on Friday nights, who sells on Monday nights, and that's it.
Huh.
Yeah. It's a business.
Yeah, it just seems odd.
Once again, if you're a fan, you don't love it. If you're a stockholder, you probably love it.
Yeah.
I'm both. So I'm kind of the middle. So I feel like I gotta watch it. So at least my stock stays good.
You've put a lot of years into it at this point. I can't stop.
That's right. I can't stop. But that's the same excuse drug addicts use. So I'm not sure that fits this. I can't stop.
Man. I need my fix.
That's right. My life would be wasted if I stopped now, man.
Who's going to keep my drug dealer afloat?
No shit, right? Vince McMahon could go broke. Because, you know, it's only me.
You're looking out for
keeping that billion-dollar industry going. Anyways, that's my wrestling. Let's move along. What else you got?
With us being in the middle of this holiday stretch, I have not consumed as much content as I normally would, but I have been reading quite a bit of what we've had coming out.
Sure.
So for this week, I just finished up the most recent issue of Kang the Conqueror. That storyline is really fun, man.
Where
you should jump into
where it. Would you get a book like that at?
Altered State Comics at 671 Big Ben, Manchester, Missouri.
Awesome.
But yeah, I think issue four, or let me think. So issue one really grabbed me. But with a character like Kang, like, you're clearly going to be looking at a ton of time travel, which I'm not particularly in love with.
Does it read awkwardly?
I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Each issue pretty much has been contained in one time space. Okay. So, like, it doesn't feel off. I am not as in love with it as I was in the beginning.
Okay.
Like, issue one was really, really wonderful. I am still 100% in, but I am not as enamored with it as I was from the get-go.
Okay.
But worth your time. Now, what's the furthest place from here, on the other hand?
Tight.
That's been a strong book. And then Robins. I haven't read Robins yet. What?
I really enjoyed Robins. I mean, just, you know, the basic premise is all the Robins are to come together for the first time after whatever the big hubbub is lately in Gotham City. And
It's got to be coming off of Fear State, right?
I don't believe it is.
Oh, really? So it's just kind of picking up out of the blue?
It's a six-issue standalone. But all the Robins are together, like, kind of for the first time ever, and they're kind of chatting about, is it a blessing or a curse that we've done this and all that kind of stuff? And then the first kind of issue ends with you kind of finding out they were really kind of brought together for a purpose and someone's trying to take them all out.
I think that conversation of is this for the best or not was really started in Titans. And that's a really interesting place to take those characters that I think is really underexplored.
Totally.
Like, the idea of, yeah, you had a grown-ass man, you had a grown-ass millionaire take you in and
right.
train you to be a fucking assassin, basically.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's pretty fucking traumatic.
Kind of fucked up, yeah. Especially when you were a circus carny before that.
Right. All right, one's a circus carny, one's a runaway.
One's his kid.
Yeah. It took four Robins for him to finally be like, all right, I'll just make one of these myself. Own.
That's right. Ra's al Ghul's kid, right? Our daughter. Yeah.
Oh, Rick Boogs. I thought this Rick Boogs was a. He reminded me of what's his name? Dynamite, Dynamo. We were watching Ring of Honor the other night.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Danny Rainbow. It was a good name, whatever it was. It was a great wrestling name. Great wrestling names are usually great porn names also.
Yeah, this Rick Boog looks like that guy.
He kind of does, yeah. Yeah. He plays the intro for Shinsuke Nakamura, who's badass. I wish they would have something better for him to do than wrestle on the fucking pre-show here. It's terrible. Terrible, I say. Once again, if you had any question why wrestling's gone downhill, it's that right there. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's a grown man in a unitard with a flying V guitar. Yeah.
Not cool.
No. In 87, yeah. That was Van Halen right there, bro, but not so much now.
Yeah, it ain't 87.
You're going to tell me Vince McMahon hasn't lost touch?
No.
He still signs up on all that. That's still him. That's still him.
Yeah, but this is just the pre-show.
And that's Vince McMahon. Doesn't that's what's his name, about. The ESPN guy, commentator guy, used to be a football punter or whatever. What the fuck's his name?
I don't know.
You would know the name. You know sports shit.
I don't know football.
I bet you know the name. I forget his name.
I'm a baseball and hockey boy.
That's true. That's true. Anyways, now we're just giving color commentary to something no one can see. But
everybody's watching Survivor Series.
They're watching. It's watch along. It's a watch along. But now we're putting this podcast out after it's over. I forget that guy's name. Pat McAfee. You know Pat McAfee?
Sure don't.
All right. Next question. Moving right along. What were we talking about? I'm sorry. Oh, we were talking about the comic books.
Yeah.
The Robins. You were talking about Robins.
Yeah. I think that's just a. That's a strong place to take those characters. I think that there's a lot of room to kind of swim around there and see what's interesting and what isn't.
Yep. Yep. Well, because, you know, when you bring them all together, obviously you're not just bringing, they're not all Robin anymore.
Right. You get Nightwing, you get Red Hood, you get Robin, you get Red Robin.
Right. It's a cool mixture. It's a cool mixture of characters, really, that you really wouldn't think are so different because they were the same kind of.
They all serve the same purpose, but in very different ways.
Very much so. Very much so. What else you got, dude?
Oh, man.
I called on him. He's either yawning or sneezing.
I know.
Man.
It's because he put wrestling on, so it's just going to make me. It's just going to put me right to sleep.
Hey, look. Once again, I'm invested. I'm invested. This is the same reason. By the way, this is our business now. Comic books still work. You started reading 20 years ago. You can't stop now. I've been reading this long. What, am I going to stop now? In my 40s? Are you fucking kidding me?
I've put too many years into this.
Well, yeah. What else have I been doing that long I'm going to give up? Nothing. Nothing. Because I've been doing nothing else that long.
Oh, have you watched the Boba Fett? Under the mat, behind the mask?
I have not, no.
Buddy.
I gotta watch that.
That's worth your time. There was a lot of cool little tidbits in there that I just didn't really realize. You know, like there's a, that's a character that obviously captured everyone's imagination off the bat, even though they didn't really give him anything to do or to talk. You know, he was just there to be an action figure. But hearing kind of seeing original screen tests and hearing original ideas behind him was really kind of enlightening in a bunch of ways. Like, oh, this is where this character comes from. So like, he was originally designed to be the new Stormtrooper, and there was supposed to be like hundreds of them. Like, they were just going to be, like, that was just the suit for, like, the new elite trooper.
Yeah.
And then, they were made as all white. So, like, his first screen test is that whole armor in white.
Yeah.
And then the production company hit George Lucas with, we're not going to buy 100 more of those suits.
Right.
So George was like, I guess let's just paint it and make him a bounty hunter because... whatever. Yep. Like,
and then here we are.
We have the one. We have the prototype. So we'll just make it a different color and we'll stick him with the bounty hunters. And he captures everyone's imagination.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about Boba Fett that just works.
Agreed. Yeah. This is so sad. I was going to watch that, but then I found on Paramount Plus, you can't do that on television. from the early 80s,
the OG Double Dare,
bro, it is wonderfully horrible.
Are you sure it's not just horrible?
No, I'm positive. It's like getting in a time machine. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's shit you can't do now. I mean, it's not like inappropriate by any means, but it's just.
Not good television?
No. Well, I mean, I remember when I sat down and coming after school, it'd be fucking on 3:30, 4 o'clock. We had cable, so I got Nickelodeon.
Oh, Pinky's out. Brandon had cable.
That's right. I think it usually came on after like reruns of Mr. Ed or, you know, Dennis the Menace type shit, which they played all. I used to watch all that shit in reruns.
Yeah.
So I thought it was Leave It to Beaver. Sure, watched it, whatever. And then here comes You Can't Do That on Television. And it was actually like kids my age doing a TV show. And I thought it was the greatest thing of all time, man. Mm.
You got to watch The Orange Years on Hulu.
It was a great documentary. That's why I looked for this, because you guys were talking about it. Yes.
About that era of Nickelodeon.
Yeah, you guys were talking about it the other night. And then I'm like, fuck, I looked it up at the bar as we were talking about it. Like, it is on Paramount Plus. And I added it to the list. Been watching it ever since. I think that old Double Dare is on there.
Oh, they have to. Give me Mark Summers. We got Legends of the Hidden
Talk
Temple.
Talk about 80s hunk. Not Mark Harmon. It's Mark Summers. Mark Summers in like a checkered tweed sports
Nothing
jacket.
Nothing says 80s like Mark Harmon or Kirstie Alley.
So great. So great. Yeah, you got to go watch Summer School. You'll love it. You won't, but it's still fun.
No, I won't.
It's fun. It's fun.
I'm going to try to get Libby to watch Shang-Chi tonight. I'm trying to get back into that.
It's a great movie. Loved it. I've watched it many times up here. It's great.
Yeah, I've watched it too many times to be excited to be watching it tonight, but I still am.
It's a fun movie, man. It's one of those, like, I'll put it on up here at the shop, 671 Big Ben, and, you know, I won't, something will happen or I'll get distracted. I can't watch it all the way through usually when it's on up here.
Sure.
But every time, I put it on, whatever part it's on, it's fun.
It's the right.
It's great. It's good movie. It's good times. Good times.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than I expected it to be.
Yep. Than it needed to be, even. I was thinking, it's just going to be one of those. I thought this was going to be kind of the Passover movie waiting on Eternals.
Sure.
Kind of changed places.
Yeah. Did you see Eternals?
I haven't seen Eternals yet, no. But I'm going to. But I still get people are just kind of like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, no Shang-Chi's better.
No one's excited for, like, the next Eternals.
No. You know what I mean? Eternals is just one of those movies that, I'm sure I probably said this last week, but it frustrates me that in the time we live in and all they're doing with Disney Plus, that Eternals isn't a Disney Plus series.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's like,
there's too much to go through.
Right. Yeah. Like, that is the perfect thing that vehicle. They should have done a season on Disney Plus, then made a movie. Because I do think it belongs cinematically, and I think it works better as a movie, but it just has to do too much.
Sure.
You have to introduce me to 10 fucking characters and make me give a shit about all of them, and then tell a story with all of them. Where it's like, I think you could have done a 10-episode series where each episode revolves around a different character, and you wouldn't have had to tell a huge story,
right?
Just enough of a story to introduce you to them, and it works episodically, and then you can make an hour and 45-minute movie that is fucking tight and clean and works.
Yep.
Because you don't have to introduce all the characters and you don't have to make me give a shit about them.
Sure.
And like that, I feel like Eternals just, it's too much to have to do in one movie.
Yep. Yep. Is that supposed to be on Disney Plus anytime soon? Probably not, right?
No.
I don't think so.
But I bet they do like if I were a betting man.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess there's like a 6 or 8 week window. That's how they're doing now.
Yeah.
So I bet it makes its way to Disney Plus by, it wouldn't surprise me if that was like a Christmas Day.
I was
going
to say, they don't really need to do it all this year because they got shit coming out every week.
Yeah. I mean, we get Book of Boba Fett, we get Hawkeye.
Right.
But I do think that seems like a Christmas Day move.
Yeah.
Like a late announcement. You know, something that they don't want, because right now they want everyone to go to the theater still. Sure. So they're not going to announce shit.
True.
But I could see us being like mid-December and all of a sudden them saying, spend your Christmas Day at home watching Eternals.
Right. Let's see if we can get a few more bucks out of this. Yeah. 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 We'll see. I'm not going to wait that long, obviously, but just curious.
Yeah.
Just curious.
But when we get, the beauty of this is now, Brandon, starting with Wednesday, we're going to have Hawkeye right into Book of Boba, right into Obi-Wan, and throw in a little Tom Holland, Spider-Man in between there.
Yeah, just a little.
So we are finally going to have weekly content to break down.
Sure.
Every
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, for the first time in a while.
Which I feel like that always makes the show a little better.
We're going to have great weekly content that we're going to fall behind on within a week and a half.
Hey. No.
We got to get back on this.
Goddamn
That's right.
job.
That's right. That's right. Well, I got nothing else, brother. Unless you got anything.
That's what I got.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming out. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace.